Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinefo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. On tonight's show, one small step for man, one giant leap for a podcast. We have an actual astronaut on our show. Jim Kelly has piloted two space shuttle missions. And on tonight's Career Corner, we'll find out if Paula has the right stuff to forge a career in outer space. Plus, we'll report on testing your cat's DNA, and we'll test Paula on her own vocabulary words. And it's graduation time, even for preschoolers. Are you ready for a speech from a five-year-old valedictorian? I'm Adam Felber, mission control for this show, trying to navigate us safely to touchdown. But Houston, we have a conversational problem. Please welcome the problem itself, the woman who always requires a course correction, Paula Poundstone! Welcome, Paula.
Thanks very much.
And welcome to tonight's house band, English horn virtuoso Rachel von Amberg.
I think this is the first English horn that I knew that I was listening to anyways.
Really?
It may have been snuck into some other things
I bet you've
before.
Heard it somewhere.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there an English horn in Peter and the Wolf?
I don't remember.
That's what I remember, like, grade schoolers being subjected to. It's like, oh, look, the fox sounds like an English horn.
It was a clue in a mentalist one time. In
an English
solving
horn?
Of, but Peter and the Wolf.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the solving of the crime in the mentalist.
Well, that's a fun fact. Thank you.
Yeah. It's because we didn't have any... what's that drink that has little facts in the lid?
Snapple.
Yeah. We don't have any Snapples.
Back then, we had to make our own fun facts.
I'm filling in with a little fun fact. So it's graduation season, Adam.
It is. And it's not just college and high school anymore.
Isn't your kid graduating from the elementary school?
He's graduating from fifth grade. I don't know if there's a graduation ceremony per se, but there's a yearbook for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be good to look back.
This makes you mad, doesn't it?
I really loathe preschool and elementary school graduation.
My six-year-old recently, like a year or two ago, graduated from preschool.
Yeah.
It was not much of a ceremony, to be honest with you.
Well, when the valedictorian speech is usually very short, there's not a lot of looking back.
Yeah. As I look out on all of you, I have to go to the potty.
Yeah. 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 They talk a lot about the future.
Right.
Which is there's going to be snacks.
Right.
That's one of the
nap
big...
Nap time.
Yeah.
I see a future with nap time.
You know what? I always hated taking naps when I was a kid, and yet now.
What?
Hold on a minute.
Paula, we're recording our podcast.
I was just going to doze off for a minute. Yeah. I have no use whatsoever for elementary school.
Or preschool graduation.
I remember when Allie was graduating, and I'm going to screw up the year. I don't remember. But graduating from the fifth grade, my middle daughter, Allie, say it was 2005, right?
Right.
And they
I'm going to say that.
Say it was the year 2005.
It was the year 2005.
Someone was selling balloons. First of all, they sold all this stuff right outside the school for the parents to buy for their children to honor them in this great fifth grade graduate.
And,
just silliness.
Okay.
So one of the things was these Mylar balloons that said...
Congratulations.
Class of 2005. But she wasn't class of 2005. She
was 2005. She was graduating elementary school.
Yeah, but you're not class of 2005. You're class of whatever would be your senior year of high school.
Okay.
That's the class.
You're a traditionalist.
That you are.
And you hate everybody getting a trophy for completing a year of school.
Well, so there's balloons class of 2005, and I teared up a little bit. And Alice said, "What are you crying about?" I said, "I had hoped you were going to go so much further." I think for a lot of people, because they have all this hoopla, I think they feel like, okay, that's it. That's all we had to do. I don't think that's the right message.
You see, I think they're just marking transitions, although I resent it the way you do, because you have to kind of like get geared up and spend money on just about every single graduation, preschool, kindergarten, fifth grade.
Middle school. Exactly. Yeah. It's a big money suck. In fact, this time of year, in this month, I used to refer to this time of year as $40 season.
$40 season.
Because every morning one of my kids would, "I need $40. I'd be like, "For what?" You know, for the picnic lunch. I need $40 for the teacher gift.
All right.
Yeah. It was
Your kids really whine like that
all
the
time? Yeah,
they did, too. That's how they sounded
especially
when they asked
Especially early in the morning.
I need $40.
Yeah, I need $40. So what do you need $40 for? Just to get me to go to school.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they really had me over a barrel.
All right. Well, speaking of scholarship, Paula, you've been trying to increase your vocabulary, right?
I have been trying
to increase this is exciting.
My vocabulary, Adam. You know, I'll probably never be president for a variety of reasons.
Probably.
A wide variety of reasons.
It's a lot of reasons.
But if all those many reasons were somehow overcome and I did become president.
Okay.
I am taking a sacred vow right now in front of you and the pod dog. To have a larger vocabulary than the current president of the United States.
Wow.
If I am ever president, my vocabulary will be huge.
Wow, yeah, huge.
Huge.
Well, he has the best words. He doesn't have the most words.
I'm going to have the best words.
And the most words.
And there's no one in history who will ever have had more words than me.
Well, how are you going to do that?
And how am I going to do that, you ask?
I just did.
One word at a time, Adam.
Okay.
This week's word is stoop.
Stoop.
It's a noun that means a cloth wrung out of hot water and applied to a part of the body used as a compress.
I did not know that word. Now, I want to tell you something.
I didn't know that word either, and that's going to come up over.
Most weeks you bring up a word, and I kind of know that word.
Oh, is that true?
Almost every word.
I didn't realize that.
I didn't know stoop.
Yeah, stoop.
S-T-U-P-E.
Yeah, S-T-U-P-E. Stoop.
Wow. I am stupefied.
I'm going to use it.
Does that mean I'm being given a nice warm compress?
No, I don't think it doesn't conjugate that way.
Okay.
I'll use it.
I don't think conjugates that way. But okay.
Yeah, it does. I'm going to use it in a sentence.
Okay.
I applied a stoop to the pod puppy's nose after a cat let her know of its displeasure with her.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
I used
nice.
A stoop.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's nice. And you referred to the pod puppy, which is terrific.
The pod puppy.
And you had a cat showing its displeasure. So you gendered the puppy, but not the cat.
Cats asked that I not gender it.
Okay. If that's the request, that's the request. Well, you've been adding these words over a few weeks now, Paula.
Yeah,
like we've been doing this for a while.
It's really peppered my vocabulary, and I talk a lot.
Yes.
But I don't.
Oh, I would go with incessantly.
I don't use a wide variety of words.
No, it's quite repetitive.
So this has really benefited everyone.
I think so.
My including.
I'm already feeling the benefits of it.
Yeah.
And I think what we need to do to see if this is really working. So,
oh, it is working.
Oh, we're going to find out because it's time for the Paula Poundstone Vocabulary Quiz.
Quiz.
It's nothing like an English horn to make you feel like you're on a game show, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's got that game show feel.
So I'm going to reach into the Poundstone vocabulary hat and draw out three words that you have defined on our show.
Yeah.
Your challenge, use them in a sentence. Here we go. I'm going to reach into the hat. Here's your first word.
Uh-oh.
Solecism.
Look at the size of that hat.
Now, I know you know this one because we used it last week on
solecism.
The show.
Solecism. It's an error in social behavior or a breach of etiquette.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow, Paula Poundstone, you have expanded your vocabulary.
Yeah,
Can you
use
it in a sentence?
I forget it already.
Solecism.
Solecism. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I see some flaws in our plan right away.
Yeah, let's see. Solecism, because it's a noun. So, you know, I don't
commit
know how,
one, I guess.
I guess, yeah. I perpetrated a solecism when I didn't know Adam's name to introduce him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right?
This
is my friend.
It was a faux pas.
He's on every show.
Oh, you know him. Yeah, that would be a solecism.
Yeah.
I like to refer to solecisms or faux pas as boners. It's a much funnier word.
Well, it is a funnier word, but I'm not sure that it really works in the expanding your vocabulary.
No.
Yeah.
It works in the something funny to say at fifth grade graduation.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping your son's going to throw that in at the graduation ceremony.
I hope he does. He might be valedictorian.
Yeah, what a proud Felber.
Yeah.
He's really going to be valedictorian. They really have a valedictorian in the fifth grade.
No, they don't.
Oh, my boner.
It's evident. Your next vocabulary word, digging into the hat, is peroration.
I've totally forgotten peroration.
Peroration, yes.
Peroration. It means it's a noun, a peroration.
Yeah, you got that.
It's
T-I-O-N kind of gives that away.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I've entirely forgotten what peroration is.
Oh,
damn it. Okay, damn keep going.
Keep going?
Yeah.
The part that we're going to go through is peroration. I mean, like...
I can't remember peroration.
Then I have to tell you what it is.
Yeah, tell me.
It's the concluding part of a speech or oration, reiterating what has been said.
Oh, yes, of course it's the concluding part of a speech or oration.
Yes, what Churchill said, concluded with, we shall fight them on the beaches, we shall fight them on the landing grounds, we shall never surrender. That one, that's a peroration.
Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah, it's a peroration.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's where you repeat, you summarize, you repeat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, you sum up at the end of a speech.
Oh, man, how could I have missed that?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's not like me.
All right, so far you've done pretty well.
Well, it's 50%.
50%.
Let's be honest.
We have a third. Ready?
Yeah.
Our final vocabulary word, and it's kind of recent, so maybe you'll get this one, is licorice.
Oh, that's a craving for a delicious food.
That's right. That's right, Paula Poundstone. Fanfare, please.
That is...
Wow.
If you were skipping
through a glen wearing hose and knee-high boots, that would be so appropriate.
You mean you think I'm not? When you know how Trump wants to have the 4th of July parade? Like, basically, he wants a parade to honor him.
Yes.
And so he's taken over.
Yes.
Because he did such a good job with the inauguration. But I loved it. Maybe there should just be one English horn.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
And tanks.
So please
tanks
welcome the President of the United States.
Let's try that. Let's welcome the President of the United States. That would make me so damn happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Paula Poundstone.
I'm hoping that when he goes to jail and he puts his little face through the bars and he has his hands holding the bars, that they also play that every time he makes that move.
Every time he makes that move with the hands on the bars.
Yeah, like, the hands on the bars.
I was framed, fake news.
And his little face sticking out, like just a little part of it. Yeah,
yeah.
That's going to be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going down. So that was it? Just three words?
I thought we were going to quiz you on like 10 of them.
You're not going to ask me stultify?
Stultify? What's stultify?
Stultify is to make worthless
or foolish.
The second definition is to cause to appear foolish or dull-witted.
You know why that one wasn't on the quiz?
No.
Because I think that was our word last week.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, with my memory, doesn't matter at all.
Do you want some more? I've got a whole list of them right here.
Go ahead.
All right. How about obdurate?
Obdurate. Obstinate, stubborn, unyielding.
Absolutely. How about peculate?
Peculate is to steal money or property that you've been entrusted with, especially the public funds, or embezzle. Hey,
absolutely. How about ex parte?
Ex parte has, well, the fifth meaning is the room you used to party in.
Right.
But the first meaning is of, from, or in the interest of one side only.
Yes, a legal proceeding brought by one person without notifying the other person. That's I'd call that close enough.
Inimical? Absolutely correct. Inimical is antagonistic, unfriendly, and hostile.
Yes.
Don't sound so fucking surprised.
Peculate. Oh, you did it already. Pentateuch.
And this one has come up in my speech so often since I learned it. It is the first five books of the Bible that are
credited
to Moses
being
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy and Numbers.
Wow.
I have so often
it
comes up.
That's amazing. And when we talked about it first on the show, you didn't believe there was a book called Numbers. So you've read up on it.
Oh, yeah. There's a book called Numbers.
Yeah, you got your Pentateuch going there.
Yeah.
Last one.
What I did is I got five more cats and I named them. That's how I
Genesis, Leviticus.
That's how
Exodus,
I've been. Yeah.
Deuteronomy,
I named one cat Obdurate and in this way.
Is there a cat named Deuteronomy and Cats? If there isn't, there should be.
In the show Cats?
Yeah. I've never seen the show Cats.
Captain Crinkle just said there is. You saw the show Cats, Captain Crinkle?
Yeah,
I can't believe you've even...
Bonnie Burns, our producer,
I can't believe
Captain
you
Crinkle.
Have not been thrown out of every theater you've ever been in.
Honestly.
Yeah. Remember, finally, some theaters, they go, if you have a hard candy, open the wrapper now. Yeah.
With a picture of Bonnie's face.
Yeah, with a big international no sign
all right,
on
finally,
it.
Finally, inchoate.
Inchoate is disorderly and chaotic. And oddly, it's spelled I-N-C-H-A-O-T-E.
I always thought it was
is it O-A-T-E? Yeah,
but
you're right.
Still,
I always thought it was
inchoate. Unbelievable job, Paula. You got all but one.
All but one. And what was the one I didn't get?
I don't remember.
Peroration.
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 Yes.
Which is to, repeat the what you've said earlier in your speech.
Yes, well done.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know who did that? You know who did that?
Who did that?
The British Prime Minister years ago.
Margaret Thatcher.
No.
Chamberlain.
Winston Churchill.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He used to repeat. He'd say, we're going to fight now and
on the beaches. Yeah,
tomorrow.
I remember that speech.
We're going to fight in
Thank
the movie
you for that
theaters.
Historical nugget.
We're going to fight near me, in front of me, beside me.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, Paul,
I have a grasp of history.
You aced that quiz. You really did.
Yeah.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
first sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
When you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're gonna get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that too. Like so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14 karat gold jewelry and like all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Nice.
Trump's face through the bars. Absolutely. Every time he does it.
Well, coming up, we're blasting off into outer space with astronaut Jim Kelly. We haven't even discussed this. We have a bona fide astronaut on our show tonight.
A real live astronaut.
A real live astronaut.
Yeah.
Who's sitting not a couple feet behind
you. He's just
you.
A few. Well, that's where he was when we last saw him.
Right.
He's behind me, so I can't tell.
No, he's there.
He floats. He floats around.
He doesn't. That's a zero-G thing.
He floats.
No.
Yeah,
not
it turns
Earth.
Out it has nothing to do with space. He just always floated.
Oh, they just hire floaty people to be astronauts?
Exactly.
Huh. Didn't know that. Anyway, he's here. He'll tell us whether Paula could fly high as an astronaut. Career Corner is next when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Oh, that's nice. And we're back. It feels like we never left.
It does feel like we never left.
Yeah, welcome back to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, Paula Poundstone.
Well, thank you so much.
So let me ask you. Can I ask you a personal question?
Certainly.
How's it going out on the road?
Love my job.
I know you do.
Best job ever.
Yeah.
It is the greatest job in the world. I consider myself a proud member of the endorphin production industry. The only part that I loathe.
The part you don't like.
The part that I very much dislike. See,
what
that's
part
a
is
peroration.
That? Yes.
I hate self-promotion. I hate having to say, I'm going to be at the blah, 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 and the blah, blah, blah. I hate having to tweet out, like, you know, oh, come see me at the blah, 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 and the blah, blah. I hate that.
So it makes you wonder whether maybe you should be doing something else.
Every now and then I think to myself, I could do another job.
Yeah.
Where I didn't have to do that.
Right.
Maybe I could be an astronaut.
An astronaut?
Yeah, I've thought that.
Well, Paula, to answer that question, welcome to Career Corner. Yes, it's time for Career Corner, where we learn about the wide world of jobs. Would you like to be a fireman? How about a train engineer?
Yes.
Maybe you'd like to make it as a spot welder.
No.
What can you do with your life? Career Corner has the answer. This week, let's explore a career as an astronaut. And here to help Paula discover if she could cut it in the stressful, high-stakes world of flying into outer space and piloting the space shuttle is NASA astronaut and retired Air Force Colonel Jim Kelly. Let's have a big Career Corner welcome for Jim.
Thank you.
And a little thus spake Zarathustra.
Easy for you to say.
Also scratch Zarathustra, I believe. Thank you very much. Jim, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
It is so exciting to have you. I've known Jim for a little while, but I actually have very rarely asked astronaut questions.
Why is that?
Because I don't know. I just didn't want to. It just
is
felt...
that the, is that kind of thing where, like, because you're usually probably the only astronaut at the party that you get a little tired of those questions?
Yeah, it's not tiring really. I like to do it. I like to talk to people about it. I'm very excited about my job. It's something I love to do, so I don't mind talking about it.
So Paula could have been asking you questions all this time.
This whole time.
Shit,
wow, you blew that
was,
one.
Yeah,
down.
And I was asking him about Peter and the Wolf.
Really?
I've been asking him a lot of Peter and the Wolf.
What about
the Mentalist?
What about Peter and the Wolf?
I've been mentalist. Trying to come up with something to
don't talk
connect
about space. Don't talk
him.
About space. Don't talk about space. Yeah, well, you could have been.
All right, well, here's my first question then. What does takeoff feel like?
It feels like a thrill ride. It's absolutely fabulous. You get on the thing in it. I flew the shuttle twice up to the International Space Station.
Right.
And both times on the shuttle, you know, you're sitting on your back and you're looking out the upper window.
Uh-huh.
And when the rockets first fire off, the rocket engines fire off, there's what we call the twang. So you twang about 6 to 10 feet and you go towards your feet and then roll back to where you started. Then the big solid rocket.
What do you mean? Your whole body folds forward?
The whole ship does.
Oh.
Because the whole ship is actually held down by just 8 bolts. That's all it holds to the launch pad. And when the rocket engines fire off, the liquid engines that are built right here in California, when they fire off, they actually move you about 6 to 10 feet, and then you come back before the big rockets that are attached to the launch pad go.
Cut in.
And then it's a bottle rocket. It just launches into space.
And does your face do that thing that you see pictures of?
It does, always,
just mouth goes
Yeah,
push back.
Like in Toy
Story?
That's
right, get smushed back. Yeah.
Like in Toy Story.
Yeah.
When he's,
to infinity and beyond, you can just go.
Yes.
Oh, man. So what are the main requirements? Because we are trying to find out if Paula can do your job. What are the main requirements to be an astronaut?
Well, there's several of them, actually. First of all, you don't have to be a graduate of, like, preschool. I didn't graduate preschool.
You didn't graduate preschool.
I got kicked out. The nun told my parents I was going to be a criminal.
Okay.
So it didn't work out
true?
Too well. Absolutely. A true story. Yeah. So you don't have to graduate preschool, but you do have to graduate with a degree in science or technology or some kind of field like that. One of the basic science or engineering, medical school.
Okay. One of those kind of things. Roadblocks right here.
A few roadblocks there. Yeah. And then you have to have some experience. I'm a pilot. So my experience was flying in the Air Force, and you had to have 1,000 hours of what we called fast jet time. And
right. Paul, how many hours of fast jet time do you have?
I don't at this time have...
How
any
many? Estimate.
Fast.
Just estimate.
To take a wild guess, I'd say zero.
Zero, okay. So Jim, that's going to be a problem.
How about this? I have sometimes put my seat forward in a commercial flight. I've pushed the button and put my seat forward.
Jim, does that count?
A little bit, but you need a lot of hours of doing that, I think. Yeah.
Oh, I've had a lot of hours of doing that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So those are your the science degree or engineering degree.
Yeah. Most people have master's degree or PhDs. Do you have like an honorary doctorate? That might work.
No, I have an honorary high school diploma.
That helps.
Yeah,
that helps. You're on your way.
Yeah.
So she's got a. There's a lot of stuff she'd have to do.
Okay, so
that's right.
Now, is there an age thing involved here? I don't want to bring up the delicate subject of age, but like,
no, there's no age limit.
There's no age limit. So nope. Paula could.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So Paula could.
John Glenn flew at 77.
Yeah,
right,
he
but
did.
He'd already flown, right?
He'd already flown once.
He already had some training, I think.
He did a little bit of training, yeah.
Yeah. Are there physical requirements?
There absolutely are, yeah. You have to be a certain height between two different heights. And
what are the heights?
You know, I don't remember at this point. It's like it's like 5 foot. She's in there. She's
in the range.
Paula's in the range.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, it's like 5 foot to 6 foot four.
Okay.
And there's a lot of physical qualifications. You have to have a good, your heart has to work well. You have to have good eyesight, at least corrected.
Uh-oh.
There's a lot of things you have to, conditions you can't have.
Like what?
So, you know.
You don't have to do the whole list, but yeah, it's a lot of conditions.
Yeah, heart conditions or diabetes, things like that.
I don't have those.
How about
a
persistent allergic cough?
Yeah, no, I think that's all right.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, plus there's probably not a lot of pollen in space.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Let's get to space. Let's talk about space. Everybody wants to hear about space. Where do you sleep up there?
Anywhere you want.
Matter of fact, you want.
I've got four kids. So on my first space flight, I actually went up and I wanted to sleep everywhere. So I slept on the ceiling, slept on the floor, slept on the wall.
You just tether yourself?
You just tether yourself. And if you don't tether yourself, then you just float around on the air conditioning vents. We'll just blow you all over the ship.
Well, that then you're not into things, right?
A little bit. You try not to do that. So normally tether yourself off.
Is it comfortable?
It is. It's incredibly comfortable. Yeah.
So because you're not oriented in any particular direction. You're just...
No, you're not. As a matter of fact, it's so comfortable. It's like when I got back down to Earth on my first after my first flight. You guys have seen the movie Ghostbusters, right?
Of course. Yeah.
There were a couple times where I woke up in the middle of the night and I felt like I was Sigourney Weaver, you know, 3 feet above the bed.
Oh, where
you just feel like you're just floating, and that's what it's like. It's just, it's insane.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I think I would like that. Is there anything that simulates it down here?
Not really the sleep part down here. We have
sleep on that vomit comet thing.
You can't. Well, you can. Some people probably do, but you only get like 90 seconds of zero G in there, and then you get like 1.8 G.
What is that?
So you're going back. So it's called the vomit comet. It's an airplane that we've outfitted. In the inside, it's all padded. And basically you do parabolas with it and you go up, and when you get to the top, you push over until you're zero G, and then you can float inside the airplane for about 90 seconds till it's facing 45 degrees nose down.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to do about 1.8 to 2 G's a pull out. You can do that time after time after time. So
you get 90 second intervals. Zero G to train you for.
You can do as many as like 60 parabolas. So imagine doing zero G, 2 G, zero G, 2 G. There's a lot of hurling going on.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Wow.
But huh. Paula would have to do that probably, right? In her
she
training.
Probably would. Yeah, that's part of what we all do in our training. Yeah.
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 So you go into this thing and you throw up?
Many people do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the point of the exercise.
Yeah,
but
it sounded like it was because you called it the vomit.
Well,
comment,
I think it picked up that nickname along the way when
I
it
see.
Was noted.
Not,
I mean,
wasn't,
and let me ask you,
because how many
that?
People would that attract?
Yeah.
The vomit comet.
Yeah, like, it's not painted on the side of the plane.
Like sometimes at Disney, I feel a little nauseated by a ride, but I wouldn't go on it at all if it was called the vomit comet.
It's not officially called the vomit comet, but let me ask you about it, because that is kind of interesting. What happens when somebody vomits in zero G?
We have special bags that help take care of that you vomit into a bag that's got like, it's got these little finger holes in it so you can help clear everything out and do it away.
Oh, right.
There's actually more people than not actually get sick the first time they fly, especially going up because everything's different. You know, your vestibular system's all different.
Right.
What's your vestibular system?
It's your inner ear.
Oh, you do.
Your balance system.
Yeah.
You know, you float out of the chair and then like you can be right side up, upside down. You can go any direction.
Wow.
And your brain's not necessarily ready to handle that at first because, you know, and you're looking at somebody that you're talking to and they're 90 degrees off from you. And that's really weird.
Oh,
and so for a lot of people, there's a lot of mental and neurovestibular stuff that goes on, your tummy, you know, things like that. So
do you adjust to it in time? I mean, you spend a fair amount of time
in
space. Like what's the longest you spent in that shuttle?
About 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the shuttle.
Yeah. Well, I spent a lot of time actually on board the International Space Station.
Oh, okay.
So I went up and docked with the International Space Station on both flights. And so I was there for about 10 days.
So you get really used to it over time.
You do. Yeah. Actually, there's very few people that have had sickness the entire time they've been up there. There've been one or two. But most everybody acclimates within the first day or two.
That's fantastic.
I'll bet everyone hopes that.
You think you'd acclimate?
Oh, would I acclimate?
Would you acclimate?
You betcha. I'm acclimated now.
But you're acclimated to this.
I have not felt like throwing up once.
Right.
You're doing great.
Thank you very much.
And yet,
you're at 90 degrees to me right now.
I'm not.
I am slowly spinning.
No, you're not. We're just looking at each other.
Oh, well, then there is something horribly wrong with me.
It's with your, what's the system she's got there?
Neurovestibular system.
Your vestibular system's all messed
up. My neurovestibular?
Your vestibular.
Neurovestibular.
Neurovestibular system. Yeah.
If you think you're rotating right now, because you're not.
Yeah. I do have a little balance issue sometime, but that wouldn't matter at all in space, right?
Not a whole lot, no.
Yeah.
You're very visual in space, but I think you ought to add that to our vocabulary list, neurovestibular.
Neurovestibular.
You can quiz on it later.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm writing it down, neurovestibular.
We're both writing it down, neurovestibular.
Neuro.
I bet I could.
Why has it never come up before? Why has no one ever mentioned that to me before? And we've had a lot of guests on this show, and no one has mentioned it.
Because it's not... Like, for instance, when we had that real estate agent talking to us about
we had a real estate agent. We had a guy who did body piercings. Yeah. Neither one of them mentioned neurovestibular.
I don't believe either of those would really be very involved with your neurovestibular system.
Of course. Yeah. When you're showing a house, you might say to, like, a young couple looking forward to buying a house and having children, you might say to them, you know, this room is excellent for your child's neurovestibular system.
Well, why would any room be excellent for the neurovestibular system?
You say whatever you can to sell a house.
That's absolutely right. Well, you've learned a lot on this podcast. Now, I'm going to go on a limb and bring this back around to our guest. Jim. You were a pilot.
Yes.
How much flying do you do when you're piloting a space vehicle? Or is it mostly automated?
Most of it's automated, but you're there to back up the systems. And then there are some parts that we fly manually. So the two big parts that we fly manually are when you're rendezvousing with the space station, you're rendezvousing and undocking and leaving it,
yeah.
Parking. When you're parking it, when you're parallel parking the shuttle, you have to fly it by hand. And then when we come back
in, that's got to be fun.
Oh, it's fabulous. It's so much fun. Yeah, absolutely.
And terrifying.
Do they have a steering wheel, though? Like, you know how, for example, the Indiana Jones ride at Disney.
Right.
If you sit in the front seat, there is a steering wheel.
Is there really?
Yeah, but... And I love sitting in the front seat with the steering wheel, but you're not. It's actually on a track.
God damn it, Captain.
You're not actually steering it. Do they have one of those?
No, like, it's actually got a hand controller.
Oh, it's got
that you can use there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's much like a ride. If the person that's trying to drive can't drive very well, you just disconnect the system.
Yeah.
And they feel like they're driving.
Right.
Much like Indiana Jones.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
cut them out of the system. Yeah.
I love that.
Now it's got to be incredibly exciting to do something like that, like to
absolutely.
Dock space. So,
what makes you say so?
Because I
that
would love
to.
That
is really a leap.
Yeah, it is a leap.
Yeah.
So my question is,
he said that to the body piercer.
Yeah, well, that would give me a rush of adrenaline too.
Incredibly.
If somebody brought a piercing instrument to my genitals, I would feel an adrenaline rush.
Right.
Not
exactly.
A good one.
But we were talking to the piercer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be...
We don't know if he had a rush when he does that.
I think
that.
He would. That's got to be exciting.
Well, let's bring it back from the genital piercing.
So is it hard when you get home?
This is the question I wanted to ask.
Oh, I
yeah,
see.
Go
is
ahead.
It hard when you get home? Do you become like an adrenaline junkie where when you get home, everything just feels like, yeah...
Yeah, some people do, and it's like that. Like, before you go fly, like, when you're the next crew up, you get, like, the red carpet treatment. You walk out to your jet, and they hand you your helmet, and
you get
the food they kind of want, and you get all the training, and everybody gets out of your way because you're the next one to fly, right?
Do they blare soundtrack music, or do you just have it going in your head?
You've got your own soundtrack. You just walk in. No, I'm just kidding. but, yeah, see, everything's going your way, and they're really taking care of you before you go fly, making sure you don't get sick, you're eating healthy, you got everything you need. When you come back down, and after the flight, then all that goes away, and now you're at the end of the list again, and a lot of people, it's been likened to postpartum depression for some people.
Oh my God.
Like, the big event happened, and then you get this mental depression, and you're back of the bus, and you get nothing handed to you.
You
and,
sit around smoking cigarettes and listening to, is that all there is?
Yeah, is that all there is? Yeah. Play the most depressing song you can think of, and you get obdurate, you know, it's just bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
oh,
you're
nice.
Just busting out. See?
Yeah.
See, we're teaching astronauts on this show. okay, so of all the people who start the training, how many finish? Because... We're going to get Paula into the training program, let's say.
Naturally.
After we get her degree and her hours, we get her in and we train her physically. This is going to take at least 3 weeks. And then how likely is she to make it through? How many people wash out?
Well, here's the good part is that when we select astronauts, we just did a selection a couple of years ago that I was on the board. When we select astronauts, we select for everybody to make it. So we're not figuring like, oh, 50% will make it, so pick 20 if you need 10.
So it's not like you're a drill sergeant yelling, maggots only two
maggots,
of you are
yeah,
make
exactly.
It.
Whoever runs the slowest is out. Yeah,
yeah,
no,
that,
we don't do that.
That's not what happens. Oh, so you...
Yeah, we try to get everybody through, and usually the only people that don't make it through are folks that decide it's not for them, which is, I mean, you know, going to fly in space is a dangerous thing, and there's a bunch of stuff to do with it, or people that unfortunately get medicaled out. You know, they start and they're medically qualified, and then after they go through training or a little bit
then
after training...
Their neurovestibular system
goes out, it goes in coit, and they're gone.
What are you going to do?
You know, I have had some science training, by the way.
Have you?
Yeah. I don't know if I can get credit for this and then not have to take
this might make you be able to do an end run around that required degree. Let's see what it is, Paula.
In the third grade in Miss Coonley's class.
Oh, God.
One day she turned out the lights, which right there, it's big science in elementary school. And one kid held a wiffle ball.
Okay.
And the other kid held, another kid held a flashlight.
I know where this is going.
And it was to show how the moon's light is reflected from the sun. It doesn't originate from the moon. And to this day, when I look up at the moon, I can see that kid's fingers holding the edge of the moon.
I'm going to say you're going to need a little more science.
I don't see why.
Jim?
Because right away, and it's space, it's astronomy, too.
Yeah, that's right on the step. You're almost there, Paula.
Yeah.
What
science did you have? What's your science background?
Actually, my background is in aeronautical and astronautical engineering.
Oh, so, yeah, that might be a little
that's
stronger.
That's not that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a little
stronger.
I found
out what the motivation of the guy holding the moon was. So it's just a little bit deeper.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I can see where I may.
Yeah, you might need to bone up on a couple of scientific facts.
Yeah, I may need some tutoring.
Here.
Yeah.
So what's the career span of an actual astronaut? Are there a limited number of missions you can do? At some point, do they say, hey, you know, it's time to, you know.
At times they do. Actually, usually it turns out that most people decide on their own. Either they're medical doubt or they decide on their own that they're done flying. They've flown enough. And,
right.
And their career can go anywhere from, you know, 5 to 10 years all the way up. I've been there for 23 years now.
You've been at NASA for 23 years.
I've been at NASA for 23 years. So
it
can actually go
up again
time.
Or is that not really?
Possible. Yeah.
Really? Possible?
Yeah, possible.
Oh, now you're teaching now, I'm guessing, right?
I'm in charge of
aid? I could be an aide.
I could be an aide, exactly.
Do I have to have what if I carried your helmet? What about
there you
that?
Go.
You don't get to go in space carrying somebody's helmet.
I'd like to carry someone's helmet.
Yeah, but that doesn't get you on the ship.
Do you need a little joke teller on the ship?
Yeah, we do, actually. Actually, humor is a big deal.
Is it?
Humor in space is a big deal. Yeah, because you think about it, you're up there, and like for my missions for 2 weeks, it's all choreographed, and you've practiced everything. And like the whole world's watching.
Right.
If everything goes fine, it's great. But if you drop something, you know, which happens, it happened on my flight where people drop something outside, then all of a sudden the eyes of the whole world on you are on national TV.
What did your partner drop? What
pieces
happened?
Of EVA equipment. Like on my flight, one of our EVAs, a piece of equipment was dropped and there it goes floating away and we couldn't go chase. We had two. One we were able to catch. The other one we weren't and it goes floating away. And of course, it's national news. So having humor on board is absolutely necessary.
So
there's your door. There's your back door to get in. Yeah.
The detective came and knocked on the door. And I said, is it Renee? And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science. And if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Holly and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I... Y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the best. Okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
Yeah. Now, how do you guys get up there now? Is this, the shuttle program is no more.
Yeah, the shuttle last flew in 2011, was the last flight of the shuttle. And since then, we've been hitching rides with the Russians.
Right.
And
oh, really?
So their Soyuz aircraft has been going up. It's been flying for 50 years.
Right.
And so we've been hitching rides with them for the last 8 years, going back and forth. So we trade off spots with them. So we actually buy seats from them. So and then we'll launch with them. And now we're working on three rockets right now, but two that are near term are going to be taking us back and forth to low Earth orbit to the International Space Station. And hopefully we'll fly the first crewed missions of those either at the end of this year or early next year.
Really? What is it? Is that involved with SpaceX or is that just NASA?
Yeah, one of them is SpaceX. Well, they're both NASA because NASA's
right,
paying
NASA's
for
contracting,
them.
Yeah.
NASA's contract with them. But one is SpaceX. The other one's Boeing-led. And both of them have different vehicles
well,
that are
going to
take us up to
pause.
The orbit. So here soon, within the next year, we should be launching American astronauts from American soil again, which would be great.
So when you've been going on the Russian vehicles, are you allowed only two pieces of carry-on luggage, one personal, a small personal item?
Absolutely, yeah.
And
yeah.
then it has to fit under the seat in front of you.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Are you
yeah,
able
the Boeing
get,
ones, yeah.
Are you
actually,
able
the Soyuz
to get
is really
upgrades?
Tight. It's like, you know, you're put in there and it's you're put in like a little fetal ball. And
how long do you have to stay like that?
Hours.
Oh,
sometimes
my
as much
God.
As 4 to 6 hours. So
wait,
it's very,
what?
Very
that
difficult.
Would kill my
because
knees.
There's just not much room in their capsule. The ones we're building are actually much bigger than that. So they're going to be bigger capsules. So
it's such a
like
Russian thing, right?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it's just, so they squat.
That's right.
They'll squat for a few hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah.
They can do it.
And then they do. Do you
it's
ever
no
find.
Big deal.
Now I know that there's good relationships between the astronauts, the Russian astronauts, and the
Absolutely.
U.S.
Yeah.
astronauts. But have you ever noticed that you'll be texting and they'll be kind of looking over your shoulder?
No. No, not really.
Actually, so, friend, tell me about your voting system in America.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There are questions like that
yeah.
sometimes.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, no, it's
do
very.
Do you feel like telling any passwords right now?
It's actually very collegial up on orbit. It's we get together very well because we just forget about all the politics and all those kind of things. It's often said about astronauts, we all change when we're on orbit because you get to see the Earth and how fragile it is.
Right.
And the thin blue line of the atmosphere. And, you know, there's no lines between countries.
Right.
And you really feel that when you're up there. And the Russians being our close partners, we also fly with the other internationals, too. There's 16 nations involved in the International Space Station. So we fly with a bunch of them.
Most everybody speak English?
Is
English the lingua franca of space?
It's lingua franca, but there's two required languages, English and Russian. You have to know both.
You
oh,
know
really?
Russian.
I know a little bit of Russian. Uh-huh. I was not actually a space station crew member. I was a shuttle crew member. So as a shuttle crew member, we didn't have to know it.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm not fluent.
Yeah.
But as a station crew member, you have to.
Fantastic.
Well, when you were on the Trump Tower meeting,
yes, ma'am.
Were you able to understand? When you went to that NRA meeting with that woman who says now she wasn't a spy, were you able to understand everything
absolutely,
she
said? Absolutely, completely able to understand it.
Yeah.
Butina, not explain
right?
it at all.
Yeah.
I think her name is Butina, or is that the pasta brand? I don't know. So you're wearing a shirt that says Mars 2020, and that was actually one of our questions. Well, how do you feel about this going to Mars thing? Should that happen? Will that happen? Is
no,
that happening?
No, it's a candidate that's running for 2020.
Yeah,
it's
his
another
name is Mars,
Democratic candidate.
Oh. It's actually a Mars bar.
Oh, yeah.
It's the mayor of a small town in Massachusetts, Mr. Mars, who's running in 2020.
David
that's
Mars.
Right.
Yeah, David Mars, exactly.
For president.
He
happens to look like a lander on a red planet.
Yeah, are we going to Mars in 2020?
With another lander, yes. Yeah,
another lander.
We're
much
already
like
up there. We're drilling down, right?
We're drilling down.
We're
sending a lot of missions up there to get ready for the human missions that go.
Now those are
there's
coming.
A lot of stuff you have to learn. Absolutely,
you feel that's coming on.
I do.
And you in favor?
Absolutely.
Oh wow,
we have to go. We're single planet species do not survive.
Do we know that double planet species do?
No, but it's better than two is better than one, right?
That's, yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times dinosaurs had this exact same
they
chat.
Did. Yeah,
they and were, they decided not to go and look what happened.
Like in the far side, they were smoking their cigarettes and talking about what's going to happen.
Yeah. Just one dinosaur just slow eating a leaf. I don't think we need to do anything.
Look what happened to them.
All right, we got to go. Are you in favor of terraforming the planet Mars?
What does terraforming mean?
Terraforming is when you change a planet to be more like your own, so you have more oxygen and things like that that come out. I think
that would take a long time.
It would take a long time, and
that
right
means
now it's
putting down linoleum.
Exactly, you have to have linoleum.
Well, oxygen before linoleum. But
not in the United States of America. We care much more about linoleum. Yeah, are we gonna have coal?
Coal powered.
Yeah. Trump has promised the people of West Virginia that when we go to Mars,
they'll be mining.
That we're gonna use coal and clean coal.
Well, if they had dinosaurs up there, that'd be something we'd learn about it. So,
yeah.
Now that does Paula brings up an interesting point.
Thank you,
Trump. You're welcome. Trump promised us a space force.
Yes.
It seems like some sort of paramilitary space force.
It's actually a military space force.
A military space force.
Well, they've talked about splitting it off so far from the Air Force, and they've made the first moves in that direction.
Well, what comprises a space force? Do you have space guns?
Space guns.
lasers and lightsabers and things like that.
They must make that pew-pew sound, right?
Right now, the Air Force and some of the other services, the Navy and the Army, that we all have things that we do in space. So that we've got, the satellites that are up there. We do like a NORAD, tracks all the little things that fly around in space, and we actually track those so they don't hit the space station, things like that. So what they're talking about with the Space Force is
there's a lot of stuff.
And how do you make sure it doesn't hit the space station? Is there do the Americans and the Russians take turns standing outside the space station with a tennis racket?
Yeah, baseball bat for us as Americans,
And they just whack it. Ding, ding.
Actually, we track all that stuff, and then we let the station know if it's coming. And then we actually have to move the station 3 or 4 times a year.
Wow.
Where something big is coming at us. We know it's coming at us, so we'll just reboost the station to a different altitude and then let it fly
by
us.
But if we had a good space force, we could blast that thing to
Atoms. That's right. You could blast it right out of there. Yeah. Actually, it's not good to blow things up in space. India just did that, and they... they prove that they have an anti-satellite capability, so they can blow up a satellite in space. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, when you do that, now there's 400 pieces that used to be one.
Right.
And we have to track all 400 of those, and they make for a lot worse.
Because they stay right up there in orbit.
They decay, and slowly over time, they come back down to Earth, and they go through the track of every satellite and the International Space Station, things like that. So pieces in space are not good.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that.
This is the kind of stuff you're going to have to think about when you...
I'll be thinking about it soon. Yeah. Trust me.
All right. Yeah. So you had a question about I Dream of Jeannie. I wanted to remind you about it because I don't want to ask it. I don't want anything to do with this question.
I mean, how much of I Dream of Jeannie was realistic?
Oh, I think all of it. Yeah. I think it's been proven that all of it.
Jim's really agreeable, so he's letting you get away with this stuff.
Absolutely.
What are you asking?
He's
not asking about the genie in the bottle thing.
He has a degree in space dynamic... neurostimulator. He has a whole degree.
It was aeronautical engineering or something like that.
Something like that.
I kind of like that,
though,
better.
Which is why he would know.
Okay, yeah.
I want that on the wall.
Okay, yeah.
That's exactly why he would know and you would not know, Adam, which is that I Dream of Jeannie was entirely realistic.
Even the part with the genie in the bottle?
I don't mean the genie part. I mean, because they were astronauts.
There were Air Force officers. There were rockets. There was a state called Florida.
Yeah,
there was a lot of stuff in there that was absolutely real.
And there was a lot of times where they had stuff they had to do and then it turned out they didn't do it and they got in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Does that happen?
That happens too.
Yeah, exactly. It's very realistic.
Very realistic.
What made you want to be an astronaut? Had you seen something?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was born in 64. Mm-hmm. And so the first moon landing was in 69. And so I have this vivid memory of my father taking me out to the backyard and looking at the moon when there were people actually walking on it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my dad told me, there's people walking up there right now. And that kind of got me started. I grew up across from a small airport, so I'd watch the airplanes take off and land.
Where is that?
Burlington, Iowa, small town in the southeast corner of Iowa, right in the Mississippi River.
Uh-huh.
So I grew up across from the airport. And so those two things kind of got me to a love of flying. Then I started reading science fiction and things like that.
Right.
And then...
Adam reads a lot of science fiction comic books.
No, I read science fiction novels, Paul. No. I would bet that me and Jim have read hundreds of the same novels.
What do you call
that?
Graphic novels is the comic books.
No, I've read a few graphic novels, but mostly novel novels.
Yeah. No,
why do you think I'm a comic book guy?
It's helpful for him to have the text supported by the artwork.
Pictures are good. I'm a pilot, so pictures are good.
Yeah. See? I deal with pictures. But that's not even true of me.
As a pilot, do you use a checklist?
Absolutely. Yeah. For almost everything we do, we use a checklist.
Well, you'd be good at that. You make a lot of lists.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, yeah. Lists are great.
Yep.
Because there's so many critical things you just don't want to forget.
Do you do cross-check?
You mean cross-checking each other? Absolutely.
No, there's on a commercial flight.
No.
They go, cross-check. We're going to do cross-check.
Flight attendants, please prepare for cross-check.
Yeah, they say
prepare. No, I've never used that term in the military.
I've never even known what it was.
I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Yeah, I've never really known what it was. I just know they do it. I think I even asked a flight attendant one time, and I forgot what her answer was.
They probably didn't know.
Yeah. No, she didn't know.
She knew all about the I Dream of Jeannie, though.
And then what do you do when you're in space, once you're up and you're finished with the takeoff and you're up there?
What do you do up there?
Well, look out the window as much as we can.
Yeah.
Is a great answer, because it's just gorgeous back down here on Earth. But every mission has what their accomplishments need to be for that mission. Like my two missions we were actually in the process of building the International Space Station.
Uh-huh.
So my primary job, once I got out of the front cockpit, was to do a robotics operation. So I flew the robot arm both in the shuttle and the International Space Station. There's a robot arm on each. It's built by Canada.
You flew the robot arm?
Yeah.
You transported it to the position where it would become the robot arm that was the...
No, it was already out. Call it flying the robot arm, because it's a lot like a piloting skill. You take it and you fly it. You grab stuff with it and move stuff around.
Oh, so you use that robot arm.
It's like the hook thing in an arcade.
Yeah, and you go grab the toy. That's exactly it. So I pull out the big toys and take those toys somewhere else.
Wow.
And
so you must have so many stuffed animals.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how we practice,
As a science fiction fan, because you brought that up,
What
movies
comic
get
book
space
science
right?
Fiction
I'm
fan.
Not a comic book science fiction fan.
The movies that get space, I mean, the movies I think get space probably the most correct are Apollo 13 is very realistic and everything in there.
I haven't seen it.
It's very all, it's very well based.
I gotta see it before my trip.
Yeah, and the Martian, the ideas in the Martian and the science in the Martian is very, very...
Oh, really?
Yeah, very, very accurate.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Armageddon could completely happen.
That's more or less a
documentary.
Totally happen.
Yeah, it's a documentary, pretty much.
The thing about the Martian that always bothered me was, A, the ending is weird, but B, so he's standing in front of a mirror at one point, Matt Damon is, and he's looking at himself in the mirror. He's really, run down. He's been there for like a year by himself. His teeth are all messed up, right? He really looks horrible.
He's eating poop potatoes.
And now he's on his way. Now he's on his way to, he gets rescued, and he's about to dock with the commander. And he opens his mouth to do that, gorgeous Matt Damon smile. His teeth are all shiny and bright. What the hell happened?
Yes. That's what you wanted to bring up to an astronaut when discussing the Martian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just thought, do your teeth get clean when you go through space?
You can't massage this into a question. Don't even try.
Yeah. So as opposed to standing on Mars, where you might have kind of grody teeth, but then when you go through space, there's a grit in there.
It's the cosmic rays that really they whiten your teeth. It's wonderful.
See, I knew it.
Cosmic rays create the Fantastic Four. Everybody knows that.
True.
Did I say a comic book thing?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So, but the way that Matt Damon rescues himself in the Martian, that's really impractical, right?
I'm
just going to open the window and that's going to propel me into the orbit. Yeah.
Some parts of it are fantastical, but it is true.
How
in
about
every
gravity?
Movie,
people say that gravity is a pretty good space movie.
Yeah, gravity is, it's a great space movie from the way they set it up. But I mean, almost none of the science in there is actually right. Like, you have to orbit in the same orbital plane to get from one to another, and the Chinese space station is different than the International Space Station. There's a lot of stuff, but it's a great movie nonetheless.
Oh, I see. Okay, great.
But also Sandra Bullock would just never be in space.
Why not? Teeth?
She doesn't have the kind of training that I have.
She wasn't in Mrs. Cumley's third grade
Miss
class.
Cumley's class.
Miss
I remember,
yeah.
I met her one time, and I said to her, does the moon have its own light? And she said, yeah.
Oh, well, that's why she shouldn't really be in space.
Crossed off the list.
She had not done Miss Coonley's training.
And on that note, thank you, Jim, for giving us a test ride as an astronaut. Paula, what have you learned about being a NASA astronaut, and could you do that job?
Rachel Van Emberg, could I have some background music for my summary of what it takes to be an astronaut? I think I could be an astronaut because I am an expert on checklist use. My list just to get here tonight was 1, sift litter boxes, 2, pack Doritos, pack Butterfingers, pack Oreos, pack Hawaiian chips, pack 3 Musketeers, 3, sift litter boxes, 4, memorize definition of peroration, 5, sift litter boxes. My list to become an astronaut is earn PhD in science, review flashlight wiffle ball experiment, Watch I Dream of Jeannie. Pack Butterfingers, pack Oreos, pack Hawaiian chips, pack Three Musketeers. Shut door. Sift litter box. Countdown. Repeat 3, 2, 1. It's a peroration.
So, Paula, where are you going to be appearing next?
On June 21st, you can find me in Medford, Massachusetts at the Chevalier Theater. And on July 18th, I'll be in Agunquit, Maine at Jonathan's. You can find all my tour dates at paulapoundstone.com.
It's there now. Also, Jim Kelly is a NASA astronaut and has piloted 2 space shuttle missions. Jim, thank you so much for coming by to our show.
Thanks, Jim.
Woohoo! Now, do you know what your dog's DNA is? How about your cat's? We're going to explore feline slash canine genetics and also share more of your descriptions of this very podcast. That's coming up right after this. The Cat of the Week is Gordo from Washington, D.C. Thank you, house band Rachel Van Amberg. That was lovely.
That was lovely.
Paula, right before Jim Kelly, our astronaut, left, we had an informal chat with him about more space stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought a couple of details were really important.
One of the things I asked him was, when I go into space with him as his assistant, will I be able to successfully do balloon animals?
Right.
And he took a look at some of the balloon animals that I have on display here.
Yeah, he did.
And he said, these are fantastic.
Yeah, that's not something
that happened. And he said, these would really enhance. He said, it's fun to look out the window on the space shuttle in the space station. But if you were to have these balloon animals, people would not be able to take their eyes off them.
Yeah, I don't
that's
think
what he said.
I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, well,
and
we
you
were
don't
talking over
the fact
here in
make
the corner.
Balloon animals yet.
I do.
You do tie balloons and twist them now, so
yeah,
you're getting
exactly.
better.
Yeah.
But he did say that when you're in space, your head gets bigger because gravity isn't pulling all the fluids in your body down to your feet.
Right.
Which made me realize that instead of compression socks, like our doctor, Levine, recommended that you and I wear for our feet.
Yeah, he said everyone should wear compression socks.
Everyone should wear compression socks.
He didn't single us out.
Because it forces the blood back up into your body where it's needed.
Yeah.
Instead of compression socks, we could just go to space.
I'm going to space. I'm
totally
telling you. What
space.
Was the project in 2022?
They're going to put an orbiter around, like a small version of the International Space Station around the moon that will get bigger over time.
Which is an idea that I pitched to them.
It is.
Yeah, and so I am going
all right,
on that.
Then
2022, ladies and gentlemen.
It's going to be something.
If you need
fantastic.
Anything from me, get it before 2022.
Right.
Because I'm going to be busy.
Very busy. You'll still be doing the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'll just have to do it from there.
From low moon orbit.
Yeah, low moon orbit.
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. So, Paula, we often get asked to describe this podcast, right?
Yes, many
and
times.
It's not easy to do.
No, I have a hard time describing. Like at my shows and stuff, I'll say, oh, you know, you can listen to, nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. And then I go, you know, it's a podcast. I go, it's, you know, it's funny.
It's a terrible description.
We have some information, and you know, Adam Felber's on every show.
Yeah, I don't
and
even
then
need
I
that
just
piece of information.
Sort of, yeah, and I can feel the crowd, like, you know,
start to pity you.
Well, you don't get the sense that they're anxious to go. You're not putting our best foot forward. I don't seem to be, and so
well, we got help from our listeners. They've come through for us. We've received a bunch of great descriptions of our podcast on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
And I'll start out with Scott Franciscus's pithy definition of nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. He really took the note and gave us a nice brief one.
Mm-hmm.
A weekly clusterfuck for the soul.
Oh, man. I love
That's
that, Scott.
That's great, Scott.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so succinct.
That really nails it.
Yeah, it really does.
A weekly clusterfuck for the soul.
I feel like there should be a book called that.
Oh, my God. Well, there will be. Yeah.
There will be now.
It's chicken.
Yeah. We've got more. You want to read the
Yeah, next? Skip Horvath wrote, when someone asks Paula what her podcast is about, she should say, Adam Felber asks questions of our expert guests, and I answer for them. They often don't have to say a word.
You know what's great
that's
about that?
That's insightful on
that
Scott's part.
Really tells the entire story of our podcast.
Well, I don't think that's exactly true.
Most of the story of our podcast.
Yeah, I've... Well,
there's also
just
the
so
bit
happens,
about you pretending to be able to make balloon animals.
I don't pretend to make balloon
but
animals.
But that's a great one you've been working over there.
Well,
it seems
this
to
one
have lost its air.
It happens to have had a hole in it, and that's a problem. So,
yeah, so now it's a worm. It's a balloon
instead
worm.
Instead, I've made a duck's tongue.
Okay. Well, Ben Lindahl wrote, and here's his succinct, though not as a succinct description. It's a meandering stroll through the comedy countryside. Look out, a goat.
That's Ben's really giving it. Yeah. That's very accurate.
I got to say, that last detail made me laugh, yeah. And it's the part that you should leave out when you say it from the stage.
Look out, a goat.
Yeah, that's not going to help. It's going to scare people.
No, I think
people. It is. But a meandering stroll through the comedy countryside is fantastic.
On the other hand, David Reed has this definition.
I see you're inflating a new balloon.
Yeah, this one has a hole in it, too. It's as if the Marx Brothers hosted All Things Considered and Adam Felber's Zeppo on every show.
Wow. That turned super hurtful there.
That's, you know, Zeppo, the popular Marx Brother.
I know who Zeppo is. Yeah. I've seen many a Marx Brothers movie.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Zeppo's not in every Marx Brothers movie.
That's the only difference between you and Zeppo.
That's not the only difference between, God damn it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, ouch. And finally, John Plemons offers this, quote, "Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone is like a well-hit tee shot in a tile bathroom."
Wow.
Now that
that's got depth to it.
Evocative. Yeah.
It's layered.
You tee off. You could kill yourself teeing off in a tiled bathroom, by the way.
How many? That's
what a great sound effect that is.
That's the pump. That's the balloon pump.
Yes, week
after
week.
Not the breast pump, so people don't think I'm,
that's before
lactating.
The show.
No. But that's the balloon pump because I am making.
If you don't get enough extraneous noise from Bonnie, Captain Crinkle Burns, you also get Paula Poundstone using that stupid little balloon inflator every week.
Thank you, Zeppo.
Oh! Ouch. Well, Paula, now we've got all these definitions in front of us.
Yeah, these are all really
They're
good,
all
you guys.
Really good.
Thank
but
you so much.
But only one listener this week can win our prize, which, as everybody knows, is a autographed Paula Poundstone bar of hotel soap.
It's a fresh bar of hotel soap that I have autographed.
Freshly purloined from a hotel.
Purloined is not correct. I'm not stealing it. It's given to me by the hotel.
And you take it.
And yes. I take it. Yes. I will receive.
It's not purchased from them.
It is purchased in the price of the room. it's part of the whole deal.
Yeah.
Boy, they're so good. They're all really, really good.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones here.
I guess I like, only because I have memory problems, I think the one that I will be most able to use is...
Scott Franciscus's?
A weekly clusterfuck for the soul.
Yeah.
But while I'm saying it, I'm going to be thinking in my head and heart, Adam Felber is Zeppo on every show.
Oh, wow, that was devastating. putting that aside and my fractured ego aside, Scott Franciscus, you are our winner!
There we go.
Thank you.
That was countdown music.
Yeah, it sure was.
Yeah.
Now remember, you can send your definition to nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com, or you can just go visit us on Facebook at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. You know, Paula, last week we were talking about Pod Pup.
Oh, yeah, the Pod Puppy.
Pod Puppy, Mo. She was here, and you said she was a Golden Retriever Newfoundland mix.
Yeah.
But you said you weren't sure if she was a Newfoundland mix. And it's kind of important to know, isn't it?
I don't know if it's important to know.
Well, if there's a Newfoundland possibly involved, it's definitely important to know.
Why is that? We think I'll have to move to another house?
You might have to move to another house.
No one else would take us.
All right.
We're lucky to be able to rent where we are now.
You might have to take out a
mold infested... termite-infested beehive. Yeah. I'm lucky to be there.
Right, but you might have to build on another wing if it's a Newfoundland. We were talking about how it might be useful to know, and then we were joking about how there should be a 23andMe for dogs.
Yeah.
There is.
Oh, boy.
Yep, we
Thank
found out
goodness.
A little research from Tony Anita Hull, Dr. Tony Anita Hull, found out that Wisdom Panel is the world's leading DNA test for dogs, which means there must be other followers.
They're out ahead of two or three other companies, for sure.
And they include 350 breeds, types, and varieties. Their report will include, like, the percentage breakdown of breeds and breed groups found in your dog, family tree, predicted weight profile, that kind of thing.
Predicted weight?
Yeah, I think so,
So the predicted weight?
I think so.
It's directly in relationship to how much food you give it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a very good one. And also, Burns would like this because it will tell you what color your dog is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Remember, Captain Kringle, Bonnie Burns, was saying that when her daughter did her DNA thing with, like, 23andMe.
It was uncanny.
What they were amazed by.
The jaw-dropping detail.
Is that it said she had brown hair.
Yeah.
And pointed out to Bonnie that she could possibly have known that by looking at her daughter.
Right. But she was not prepared to go that extra mile.
Yeah, but they
she
have a policy
was like,
in their house.
I can't look at you just spit in this tube.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I'd rather... I'd rather research through DNA your hair color than actually see
now,
it with my eyes.
It's even easier. Your dog does not have to fill up a tube or a cup.
How do you do it with the dog?
You swab the inside of your dog's cheek and mail
in
the test.
Oh, my dog loves that.
Your dog likes this.
So often she comes and puts her head on my knee, and you can tell she's hoping I swab the inside of her cheek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's somewhat useful like for dogs because there's so many dog breeds out there.
I think it's zero use.
Okay, I'm going to have to agree with you.
But I think it's mildly interesting, I suppose, because people always say to me, what kind of dog is it? But in terms of useful, I don't even think 23andMe is useful for human beings.
And then there's dogs. And we found something even less useful. DNA testing for cats.
Oh, boy. Thank goodness.
Yeah, it's true. It exists.
Yeah. What was great, well, I did my cat Gem's DNA, and we were able to find cousins. So that really was so fulfilling.
That must have been such a great moment.
Yeah,
I hope you filmed that moment of the reunion.
She was so happy.
To find a cousin?
To find cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember as soon as they saw each other, they just went... it was really meaningful.
You can really do this now. People are doing it. The buccal swab collection is what they do.
Buccal?
Buccal.
What does that mean?
It's B-U-C-C-A-L. Never heard the word. There are two ways to
buccal.
Do it.
Buccal. I don't like it.
You swab the inside of the cheek and gums of your cat's mouth. However, it turns out that unlike dogs, the cat's mouth is kind of full of so much bacteria that you might be getting, false results on your DNA test.
So you say, my cat is...
part Persian,
and
part Siamese.
And I don't know what's a good bacteria. Part Ebola.
Part Ebola. Yeah. It's a virus.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll take it.
Persian, Siamese,
part
and Ebola.
Part Streptococcus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't... You know what? There's got to be a genetic relationship between this. My cat Severus loves to go into like a hallway or an echoey section of the house and yowl. Yeah. And my cats are not really big meowers.
No, they're not.
In general.
Your house is remarkably quiet for a house containing 14 cats.
He loves to go hear himself. Like, it strikes me that there's a little something kind of country western about it when he does it.
So you think that there's like a country western singer in his DNA?
Yeah, I do. I do think that.
Part country western singer?
I think he's part English.
There's some Hank Williams in there.
I was thinking Glenn Campbell, but it could just as well be Hank Williams. Yeah.
Which one of them do you think fucked a cat?
Yeah. I'm going to have to go with Hank Williams.
All right.
Yeah.
It
was the heroin, I think, that made that seem like an appealing idea.
Well, because the cat's mouths are so toxic... There's another company called Basepaws.
Yeah, that's a terrible thought. I didn't know that. The cat's mouths were
very bacteria-filled. Yeah, apparently cats keep a lot of bacteria in there.
So I didn't know that.
I let my
cats eat with me sometimes.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, maybe that's not a good idea. Yeah. Although maybe it's toughened me up.
It could have enhanced your immune system.
Yeah, exactly.
So this other company gives you a piece of sterile adhesive tape that you stick to your cat's fur and then peel it off like you're giving it some kind of Brazilian wax.
Oh, they're going to love that.
Yeah.
And then they go in the hallway and howl.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they do their Hank Williams impression.
Except they have a right to howl then.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing.
Yeah, but apparently it works. It works better because their fur is less bacterial infested than their...
So you pull their hair out.
All this to find out what kind of cat they are.
Yeah, well, it used to be a long-haired cat till you pulled its fur out.
Now you got a short-haired cat.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Paula, swapping your cat's mouth or peeling off its fur like you're giving a Brazilian wax might sound like the maximum amount of fun you could have with a cat, but even more fun are the Maximum Fun podcasts.
Is that possible?
It's true.
More fun than tearing out your cat's hair
is a Maximum Fun podcast.
Wow.
I don't think they're going to be using that as their slogan anytime soon.
Yeah.
It's not a high bar. It's not a high. Yeah, I bet anybody could top that.
More fun than an appendectomy. Maximum Fun podcast.
We'll be back right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Match Game. Our contestants, Aneke and James from the hit podcast Minority Corner.
Hey.
I'll ask you questions in a rapid-fire round. Favorite character on a Shonda Rhimes show?
Olivia Pope.
Ooh, I said Olivia Pope's wig.
Mm. Oh, so close. How do you feel about Disney?
They need to pay reparations to black people because Mickey Mouse was based off of blackface.
I said get rid of the racist rides, Jungle Cruise, Splash Mountain. Mm.
Who are you voting for in the primary?
It's too damn early.
I'm just getting to know these fools.
Mm. Ooh, no dice. What celebrity do you side-eye the most?
Kevin Hart. Can we get a real apology for your homophobia?
Justin Timberlake.
Nipplegate.
Favorite superhero movie?
Black Panther. Wakanda forever.
Congratulations, but you still lose.
Now I'm side-eyeing you.
Catch Aneke and James, the Wonder Twins of podcast, on Minority Corner every Friday at Maximum Fun.
Welcome, everyone, to the live wrestling spectacular in Los Angeles.
So far, the world's most boring wrestling podcast has been destroying the competition.
Isn't there anyone who can save us from this travesty?
Wait, could it be?
It's Tights and Fights, the perfect wrestling podcast.
Tights and Fights is here to save us from the monotony of boring wrestling podcasts with hilarious conversations.
Woke trips through the history of wrestling.
And joke about the finer points of people wearing spandex.
What a match!
And the Tights and Fights podcast will be back every week.
Thursdays on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts. Please, these hosts have families.
Tights and Fights podcast. Tights and Fights.
Oh, Rachel Van Amberg, those tones. They're so beautiful. Welcome back, all you nobodies out there listening. This is your friendly reminder to like us on Facebook at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, where you can find behind-the-scenes videos and pictures.
I wonder what it's like on that show!
Yeah. You can participate in some very serious research polls.
Ah.
And we just might read one of your posts on the air.
As we just did.
And I have to say, Tony Anita Hull, Dr. Tony Anita Hull, Professor Tony Anita Hull,
yeah,
has been doctoring up that Facebook page. It is entertaining. It's a riot. And the comments from listeners are great.
She does a fine job.
Yeah.
You know, Adam.
Yes?
As you know, as much as we love making this podcast, and we do, that alone is not enough.
That is true.
People have to listen to it, too.
This is true.
The only way we can continue to make Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is to increase our listenership.
This is a growth-oriented industry.
Exactly. And the best way to do that is for our current listeners,
yes,
to spread the word. But often, Adam, yes, listeners aren't sure how to talk to their friends and loved ones about the fact that they are nobodies. So I have written some simple sample dialogue that listeners can use.
Yeah. Now, I want to say...
Yeah.
In the past, that you've made absurd simple sample dialogues.
No,
and I've objected.
Never absurd.
Agree,
have our numbers continued to grow?
They have.
Thank you, Paula.
Okay, but I want to say that like last week, I feel like you turned.
I've rescued at least four people from wells.
Yes. Yeah, I don't even want to go back to that well thing because that one hurt me inside. Last week, I feel like you turned a corner because you gave us a simple sample dialogue.
Yes.
Somebody was running for president on the Democratic ticket, and somebody else was saying, how did you get that motivation?
Exactly.
And I felt like at least that's a conceivable scenario.
Yes.
Because we have so many candidates for president.
There's two dozen now.
There's
like two dozen
one
now.
One of them might have had that dialogue, and that might have been some interesting simple sample dialogue to pass on.
Well, precisely. And this is what's increasing our listenership.
Well, you've sold me. So let's hear this week's simple sample dialogue.
Well, this week is going to continue along that
on that
same,
trend. That trend of that plausible same, dialogue.
Exactly.
Okay.
So listeners, try this. Listener's friend. Oh my gosh, when did you start a food truck with a full menu of edible insects?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Listener, here, have a fried dung beetle. Listener's friend, yum. You know, it tastes better than it sounds. Listener, I just have to finish chewing this bite of warm mealworms. Here, this dipping sauce is for the stink bugs. Listener's friend, these are really filling. I thought your steak and burger restaurant called What's Your Beef that featured a waitstaff of all therapists who listened to the customers' problems was going gangbusters. Listener, it was. Try this locust.
This is a
Is that
crime.
The best? Here's what happened. I've been meaning to tell you for a while that I listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the podcast. It's a comedy field guide to life. They had a professor on to explain the Green New Deal, and now I understand that we have to entirely change to an environmentally sustainable lifestyle by 2030 or the Earth is toast, and eating insects is part of doing that. Listener's friend, yes, but you're using a truck. Listener, it's a solar-powered truck, and it's gluten-free. Listener's friend, wow, what an impactful podcast. Listener, yes, and it's really funny. Don't move, there's a mosquito on the back of your arm. Got room for dessert?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
See,
I mean, to say that you backslid this week is an understatement. I feel like I just sat through the end, the final chapter of Flowers for Algernon here. Because you're right back in a tank of dialogue that can't happen.
No, I can still get through the maze. This is going to develop. It's one listener at a time.
But there's zero listeners who run a truck like this.
That's not true.
It is.
That is not true.
If you're a listener and you run a truck like this, please send us an email at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com or visit us at Facebook at Nobody Listens to Paul Poundstone. And please include a photo of your bug food truck.
Yeah. What? We need to. I'll tell you what. I'm going to make right now for you.
Yes.
A balloon animal.
Okay.
Of a tasty grasshopper treat. The school that your nephew and my son went to at one point had some sort of Earth Day celebration.
Sure.
And there was there a commercial food truck of edible insects. Don't you remember that day?
I wasn't there.
Oh.
I don't think that it was true, though.
It is true. Of course it's true. Why would I make up a thing?
Because
like
you
that?
Always make up things.
I don't make
That's
up,
why I
I don't make
think
up
that.
Anything. You Look at this grasshopper.
That's not a grasshopper. That's a balloon folded over three ways, and if you let go of it, it's going to fall apart in a regular balloon. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, that All is right. good stuff.
God. Okay.
Anyways, you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
That's right. And that's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam DeFelber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, stop waggling that thing in my face, Ken Lizebnik, and Tony Anita Hall. So help me, Paula. Technical direction by Ray Horseman and mixing by Anthony Alfaro. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Rachel Van Enberg. And thanks again to our guest, NASA astronaut Jim Kelly. Can you believe that? He was here.
That was amazing.
Our head of security is Jonah Knuckles Glickman. Transcription services for this show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
You know what? You've got a little dung beetle stuck in your teeth.
I don't.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Something else. Bug tr-
you've
edible
got,
bug
You've got a
truck.
Little bit of mealworm there in your beard.
I don't eat bugs.
You've got a giant ant with powdered sugar on your collar.
Oh, that's my pet ant who has a sweet tooth.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.